I'm reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 21. And in the Gospel of John 21, there's an interesting story of Peter's encounter with Jesus. I identify with Peter because Peter had his ups and downs. A lot of us have had our ups and downs. I want to connect this chapter 21. I want to connect it with what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only to me, but all them who love his appearing. And I've often wondered, what does it mean? How could I find an example of what it means to really fight the good fight, to finish the course, to keep the faith? And would you know, I found it here in John 21. And I want to share it with you tonight, because I believe these three things are important: to fight the good fight, to finish life's race, and to keep faith. The story opens up with the disciples waiting to meet Jesus. You remember, excuse me, these throats are... The angel at the tomb of Jesus had left a message with the disciples, especially to the ladies. You won't find the living here. He has arisen. He's gone before you. He'll meet you in Galilee. Make sure the disciples get this message. He'll meet the disciples in Galilee, and make sure Peter gets the message. And so that's where these disciples are, and this is where Jesus is going to make his appearance to the disciples. And of course, while they're waiting there, it says in verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, I go a-fishing. I'm going fishing. Now, nothing wrong with fishing. If it had been a wrong thing to do, Jesus would have said to the angel, now make sure when you tell the disciples to meet me in Galilee, make sure Peter gets this message, no fishing. But the angel never said that. So, nothing wrong with fishing. It's perfectly legal. Peter is a fisherman. And so there are a few others with him. There are about six other disciples with him. They said they're going with Peter as well. And so they start out on this venture to fish all night. And of course, as you know, fishermen, they want to go where the fish are. If you've ever done any fishing, you normally go where the fish are. And so they went fishing where they knew before there were fish. We caught fish here and there and everywhere. But it says on this incident, that night in verse 3, they caught nothing. Then it says, verse 4, when morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And he called out to them, children, have you any meat? Or any food? Or, in other words, did you catch any fish? They answered, no. Verse 6, he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find. So they cast the net. And now, because of the multitude of fish, they were not able to draw the net in. This incident here is where faith is involved. You see, there's voices here. And in your life and my life, especially as we face the closing days of time, voices, we hear voices. If I read between the lines, I can see the disciples looking at one another because the net keeps coming up empty. And I think they're telling each other, how much longer are we going to do this? And I have a feeling they're winding down, and somewhere somebody's going to say, let's call it a day, let's quit. There's also that inner voice of self that's probably talking to Peter, saying, Peter, you might as well give it up. But then there comes the voice of a stranger challenging them to cast the net on the right side of the boat. Which voice are they going to believe? Thank God there's something that rings with authority in the voice of the stranger, and they decide to give it one more try. And I'm glad. I'm so glad Jesus gave them a full net. He could have called them in with an empty net, said, "Hey, give it up, disciples. Give it up." No. He chose to let them have a full net. And this tells me one thing in life, that if you and I can focus on the voice of the Lord, if we can focus first of all on Jesus, the giver of life, the one who's the way, the truth, the life, the same yesterday, today, forever, the unchanging one, Alpha, Omega, resurrection, life. If we can focus on him and then hear his voice, because sometimes in life we throw out a net, we try something, it doesn't work. And we're looking around for something. We're looking for answers. We want a full net. We want to feel something, that life is worth living. Life needs to have some full nets. And thank God Jesus makes the difference. It started out as Peter's venture, but now Jesus has stepped in. And when Jesus steps into your life and my life and our situations, what is impossible becomes possible. What is empty becomes full. But it's a case of faith, having faith in him, first of all. When Paul wrote these words, "I have kept the faith." My, there were many times if Paul had listened to the voices of men and the voice of self, he'd have given up. When you read Acts chapter 20 and Acts chapter 21, especially chapter 21, it says a prophet came down by the name of Agabus, picked up the belt of Paul, wrapped it around his waist and said, "The Spirit of God says that the owner of this belt is going to face persecution in Jerusalem." And the writer of Acts says, when we heard this, we said to Paul, "Please, don't go to Jerusalem. Cancel your trip." And Paul utters these words. He says, Why do you try to break my heart?" This is Acts 21. "Why do you try to break my heart? I'm ready not only to go to Jerusalem, to prison, but also to die for the gospel, for the name of Christ." If he'd have listened to the disciples, was the Spirit of God trying to tell Paul to not go? No. I believe the Spirit of God was just warning Paul, "Paul, if you're still going, there's danger." And when you read two chapters later, the Lord appears to Paul and says, "Paul, as you were a witness for me in Jerusalem, now I want you to go to Rome." So Jerusalem is on the map. It's on the agenda. So thank God Paul keeps focused on what heaven is telling him, what the Lord is telling him. And it's important for you and I in these closing days of time, when we hear the voice of government officials, and we hear the voice of state officials, and we hear the voice of supposed friends, and we hear all kinds of voices telling us what to do, we need more than ever to hear what the Lord is saying. We need a word from the Lord, the songwriter said years ago. Andre Crouch, "Lord, we need a word from you. If we don't hear from you, what will we do?" Needing you more and more each day. Oh my. There's the challenge of faith. Faith in Jesus. He's always the same, unchanging, faithful Savior, Redeemer, Healer, Deliverer. You name it, it's Jesus. And to have faith in his word that is unfailing, unchanging. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but he said, "My word shall not pass away." "These things have I spoken unto you," he said, "that as you believe," he said, "you will have my joy, and my joy in you will be complete." "He that hears my words and obeys my words is like the builder who dug deep and laid his foundation on a rock. And when he built his house, the house was so strong that when the flood waters came, the house remained standing because it was built on the rock. He that heareth my words and doeth what I say." Please, more than ever, we need to hear a word from the Lord. The second battle, the second struggle in life is found when Jesus calls the disciples in, "Bring the net in." And already there is on the coals bread and fish. And he feeds the disciples. And after he feeds the disciples, he has a little conversation with Peter. And he asks Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" We're looking at verse 15. After they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yea, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Feed my lambs." Verse 16, he said again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed, take care of my sheep, tend my sheep." Verse 17, he says to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." This is where the fight is. Please hear me tonight. I say from my heart, this is where the fight is, to love Jesus, to stay in love with Jesus, to keep loving him more than anything. Please. The Bible warns us, in the last days, men shall be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They will love themselves. He that loveth the world is an enemy of God. What does this tell us? This tells us that there's a world out there that's clamoring, demanding that we love something. You read Judges chapter 16, and you read one of the saddest stories in the Bible, where the champion by the name of Samson, who's done great things for God whenever the Spirit of God would move upon him, has an encounter with Delilah and falls in love with Delilah. And when the Philistines see this love affair going on, they come to Delilah and says, "Delilah, you've got to find out the secret of Samson's strength so that we can take that strength away from him. And we will reward you in your father's house." And so while Samson is with her, she begins to question him as to the secret of his strength. And he tells her three times some fictitious story. And while he's sleeping on her lap, she does what he said. And then she calls, wakes Samson up. "Samson, the Philistines have come. They've come for you." And he's able to rise up, able to move out. But oh, when you read there, Judges chapter 16, and you read there, the fourth time, things have changed. She challenges him in verse 15. Judges 16, verse 15. She said, "How can you say, I love you? How can you say, I love you, when you have lied to me three times? Your heart is not with me. You've mocked me three times. You've not told me the secret of your great strength." And says in verse 16, she pressed upon him. She pestered him daily with her words, kept pressing him, kept questioning him. Finally, it says his soul was vexed to death. And verse 17, he told her all his heart and said, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I've been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me and I will become weak like any other man." And while he slept on her lap, she called somebody in and they cut his hair. And then she woke him up and said, "Samson, the Philistines have come." He said, "I will arise and I will go out as I have done before." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Do you know what happened there? There was a transfer of love. This woman wants to see Samson's proof of love. "Prove to me you love me." And that's what the world is trying to say to us. "Love me. This is life. If you love me, I'll profit you. I'll do this, I'll do that." There's a Delilah. There's a bunch of Delilahs out there. And when he told her the secret, something happened there. And I can only suspect that there was a transfer of love and loyalty and commitment and devotion that he took away from God and gave it to this woman. And that's why I say, I believe what the Lord is telling Peter here. "Peter, if you love me, you will do what I want you to do. If you love me, you will fulfill the purpose that I have for you." And it's still the same for you and I, whether we live in Africa or live in America. It doesn't matter our age. I believe as we love the Lord, so we will serve him faithfully. As we love him, that's the challenge. That's the fight. There's a lot of purposes out there in the world. There's a lot of things to do out there. And how often we sometimes, by mistake, we get focused on the wrong things. Thank God I didn't go the way I wanted to go when I was young. Thank God God got a hold of me. I don't know where I would be today, if even alive, if I'd have done what I wanted to do. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure there's a few people here tonight say, thank God, God had a better purpose for me. God had a better plan for me. But it's a challenge, it's a fight to stay in love with Him, stay in love with Jesus. There's a song that says, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I ever did. Wow. So you see, if we can fight the good fight, if we can stay in love with Jesus, we will do what He wants us to do. This is what He's telling Peter. He's not saying, Peter, do you believe in me? He's saying, do you love me? You remember the time Peter denied knowing Jesus? It must have been there that Peter realized that, hey, if I'm going to live, I don't dare identify with Jesus. And I believe there, in that denial of Jesus, there was something that Peter loved himself more than he loved Jesus. Can you see it? When you see Jesus being taken as a prisoner, it's a difficult thing to keep believing and keep loving this one. And so when they challenge him, when he's questioned, are you one of his disciples? He says, no, 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 three times. There was a time when Jesus said to the disciples, the shepherd will be taken. The sheep will be scattered. You will leave me. This is in Luke, somewhere around Luke 20, 21. And it was Peter that said, Lord, maybe they will. Maybe the others will leave you, but not me. I will go with you to prison. I will even die with you. And that's when the Lord said, Peter, the rooster is going to crow. And when you hear the rooster crow the second time, you will have denied me three times. And so here's the challenge. Here's Peter saying, finally, at that time he must have said, Lord, you don't know what you're saying. You don't know about me. I'm Peter. I'll go with you to prison. I'll die with you, Jesus. Now he's confessing here, Lord, you know all things. In other words, you know better than I do, Lord. But I do love you. I do love you. I do love you. So the fight is to love Jesus, and the fight continues to do what He wants us to do. Your life and my life is not getting any longer. It's getting shorter. And I think as these days wind down and we are coming to the end of life's road, that we need to make sure that we're in the right purpose, that we're doing the right thing, that we're really serving the Lord with our whole heart, that we're really in love with Jesus and not in love with ourselves or in love with the world or the things of the world. Please, please, let's fight the good fight to love Jesus with all that we have, our mind, our strength, our soul, and then to do what He wants us to do. The last thing He says to Peter is not very pleasant. He says, Peter, when you were young, you went where you wanted to go. You dressed yourself, you were free. But when you get older, you will be a prisoner. They will take you where you don't want to go. They will bind you. It says this in verse 18. When you were younger, you gird yourself. You walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands. Another will gird you. They will take you where you do not wish to go. Verse 19, this he spoke, signifying by what death Peter would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to Peter, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, the one who leaned on his breast at supper, the one who said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? When Peter saw him, verse 21, he said to Jesus, and Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. He's telling Peter how to finish the race, how to finish the course. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And so therefore, let us lay aside every weight, every sin that comes upon us, and let us run this race with patience, looking where? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God. To finish the course, we focus on Jesus. Plain and simple. We don't focus on the world. We don't focus on anything that is just here today and gone tomorrow. Jesus says, Peter, follow me. In other words, Peter, I'll be there. I'll be there in every day that you live. I'll be there. And when it comes time for you to die, Peter, I'll be there. Just keep following me. Keep your eyes fixed on me. You've seen the Olympics, haven't you? You've seen your children, your grandchildren running races. You even ran in a race when you were younger. Where do the runners look? Are they busy looking behind how far they've come? No, they're looking forward. Where's the finish line? How much farther? And when we look forward, Jesus is there already. He's in your tomorrows. He's there tomorrow, Thursday already. You and I are not in Thursday yet. The Lord's there already. He knows your Thursday. He knows everything. Please, more than ever before, we need to focus on Jesus if we're going to finish the race. Because if we're going to look at the world and the things of the world, it's going to distract us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. There's something else here. Peter looks at this disciple that's following close behind and wants to know what the Lord's purpose is for him. And with a little bit of humor, I think, the Lord says, if I want him to live till I come, that's none of your business, Peter. You follow me. This tells me, and it tells Peter something. Peter, don't worry my purpose. Don't worry about my purpose for him or anybody else. You just work on fulfilling the purpose for your life. Don't worry about other people. Don't compare yourself with other people. Don't feel jealous of what God is doing for other people if it seems like he's blessing them more than he's blessing you. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. This is what the Lord's telling Peter. Don't worry about what I have for the purpose I have for him or anybody else. You just focus on me. And when you focus on Peter, I'll be there. And when it's time for you to lay down your life, I'll be there. And when you read one of the epistles that Peter wrote, you'll read there where Peter says, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. The Lord has told me that very soon I will lay down my life, but I am ready. And Paul said it. He said, I finished the course. Where is he? He's in prison. Second time he's in prison. The first time when he was in prison, he looked forward to be coming out, and he did come out. He was released. But this time in prison, he realizes the only release he has is when they take him out to put him to death. But he's ready. I have fought the good fight. He stayed in love with Jesus. He fulfilled the purpose of the Lord. Even though others tried to distract him, he kept faith in what the Lord said. He kept faith in the word of the Lord. He didn't let people's words stop him or hinder him or offend him. He kept faith in Jesus. He kept in love with Jesus. Can we do that, saints of God? Can we fight the good fight and stay in love with Jesus? Loving him, serving him faithfully because he so loved us and laid down his life for us. Paul writes these words in Colossians or Galatians chapter 2:20. He says he loved me and gave himself for me. And so what does Paul say that he could do? He said, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Jesus who lives in me. And the life which I now live in this body of flesh, I live trusting the Lord who loved me and gave himself for me. What is Paul declaring? He's declaring his love for Jesus. I love him so much that I put myself to death. And I've said, Lord, you come in and live here. That's loving Jesus. That's loving Jesus. And if Jesus can live in you and me, then the world's going to meet Jesus. Then the people in the workplace are going to meet Jesus if Jesus lives in you. If his life and spirit is in you, the people in school are going to meet Jesus through you children, through young people. It doesn't matter. The neighbors will meet Jesus. People in the store will get a glimpse of Jesus, will see the smile of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Let's love him. Let's believe him. And let's keep focused on him. Because that's the only way we will fight the good fight. Win the fight. Win the fight. It's the only way we will finish the course. It's the only way we will keep faith all the way. Would you join me in prayer? Would you stand with me? Just before I turn this back to Pastor Jarvis, I'd like you to join me in this prayer tonight. That we can say, Lord, I really want to fight the good fight, Lord. I really want to finish the course. I want to be a finisher, Lord. I want to finish. I don't want to drop out. I don't want to fall away. I don't want to be a casualty, Lord. I want to be a winner. I want to win the race. I want to finish the race, Lord. And I want to be faithful. I want to keep the faith. Father in heaven, we come to you tonight, a group of people called by your name. People, Lord, that have fallen in love with Jesus. And we come to you tonight, Lord, as your people called by your name. We have humbled ourselves. We have declared that we have no desire to serve wickedness or to live in sin. And you promised in your word, O Lord, that if your people called by your name would humble themselves and seek your face and turn away from their wickedness, that you would hear from heaven. You would forgive sin and you would heal the land. This is what we're asking tonight, Lord, as we, your people, come into your holy presence, Father, in the name of Jesus. No greater name, no more wonderful name, no more powerful name than the name of the Lord Jesus. We come into your holy presence, God. And it's our desire tonight, Lord, to join with Paul and to fight the good fight. To stay in love with you, Jesus. Fight the good fight. Stay in love with you, Lord. Stay in love with you, Heavenly Father. Love you more than anything, more than our lives. It's our desire, oh God, to fulfill the purpose that you have, the reason why we're alive. Oh Lord, we're alive because you've kept us alive, Lord. We're alive, Lord. There's many of us here tonight could have been casualties. We could have died somewhere, but Lord, you brought us through. You brought us through, Lord, because you have a purpose. Doesn't matter how old we are, Lord. Doesn't matter if the hair is turning white. Doesn't matter, Lord, of the wrinkles in the skin. Doesn't matter the aches and pains that attack the body, but you still have a purpose for every one of us. Help us to fulfill that purpose, Lord. Only as we love you will we fulfill that purpose, Lord. And help us to finish the race, Lord. Help us not to look around. Help us to finish the race. And help us to keep the faith. Help us, Lord. It's our desire, these three things, so that one day we can stand with Paul on the winner's podium. We can stand there to receive the rewards of eternity. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, keep us faithful, keep us true. There's a race that we must run. There are victories to be won. Give us power every hour. Keep us true, Lord. Keep us true. Keep us true, Lord. Bless these people. Bless First Pentecostal Church. Bless the leadership of the church, Lord. Bless every department of this church, God. Oh, Lord, I pray every member of this church become a powerful witness, Lord. I pray that something happen, Lord, that one day this place fills up with people and it becomes too small. I pray for a harvest of souls, Lord, around London, Kentucky, in the name of Jesus. Let your leadership be anointed, Lord, Pastor Jarvis, those working with him, God, those in the team, Lord, let them be so empowered and anointed, God. Let every ministry of this church be anointed. Every leader of every department, oh God, be so anointed, Lord. Raise up an army in this church. Raise up an army of children and young people and older people, Lord, that are determined to fight the good fight, finish the race, keep the faith. I ask this, Lord, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen.